As I said earlier outside, a very important question is why we do and why we should still have remembrance services. In every gathering, like this morning, there are those here and elsewhere who had grandfathers and uncles they never knew because of war. And I know that is true here this morning. Marks Tay and Cotford were very much smaller, but the names I read out demonstrated how deeply they were affected by the First World War. Many of the young men were the same class at school. They lived in some of the houses we pass each day. I know some of those lost were former scouts. The Clark family from Cotford Green, as you heard, lost four sons. Sadly, civilians off from the front line, as occurred in the Second World War, and as we now see in Ukraine and the Middle East. Every conflict brings the risk of escalation and spread. Many survivors are deeply traumatized. I know an ex-army helicopter pilot who crashed in Afghanistan, and he has terrible nightmares and flashbacks, which makes his life a misery and makes the lives of those around him a misery now. Wars are easier to start than stop. The reality is far removed from video games and most war films. It is one reason we should not forget. I've asked Andy Carter to come forward and read a poem, which is quite moving.
A poem. It's called To the Unknown Soldier. How did you feel that morning when the call-up papers came through? Did your blood run cold or excitement take hold at the thought your country needs you? How did you feel that morning when the time came to set off from home? Did you conquer your fears or break down in tears with the loved one you'd soon leave alone? How did you feel that morning when you first set foot in the trench? Did you brush it aside or wish you could hide from the horror, the carnage, and the stench? How did you feel that morning when your friend was blown up by a shell? Did you rush to his aid or just stand there afraid that you'd somehow been whisked off to hell? How did you feel that morning when they sent you over the top? Did you shout with relief or in sheer disbelief vainly pray that this nightmare would stop? How did you feel that morning when the bullets started to fly? Did you think even then you might cheat death again? Or did you know you were going to die? How did you feel that morning as your lifeblood slipped away? Did you try to make sense of these crazy events, or with one final breath, try to pray? How do I feel this morning in the face of such slaughter and sorrow? Do I just stand aghast as I think of the past, or give my all for a better tomorrow?
If we'd been born a few generations earlier, those may have been some of our thoughts as well. The Kohima epitaph I read outside is all about sacrifice. I don't know about you, I watched a Channel 5 program last night called 3 Days That Saved Britain. It's about the Battle of Britain about 1940. And it was quite moving. In the height of the battle, those guys had a life expectancy of 4 weeks. That's not very long. And they were sometimes going up 8 times a day. Each time they went up, they didn't know whether to come down or how many of their friends would come down. And there was a guy being interviewed, he's dead now, but he was interviewed. He'd been one of the people on the ground servicing the planes. And they didn't know whether their pilots would come back. And they would have a group of 3 planes they serviced together. And they lost 5 of those pilots, which they serviced, they lost. And it's that willingness to put oneself on the line to save comrades and the purpose of protecting the innocent and the weak. It's been a very common thread for the history of the battlefield. The centre of the Christian gospel is that Jesus willingly went to his death for the benefit of others. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I lay my life down for the sheep." And that includes us, taking the punishment on himself for our faults so that we can have a relationship with God now and the life to come. The reading.
The mountain of the Lord. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and will set disputes for long nations far and wide. They will beat their swords in plowshares, and their spears in pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken.
Thank you very much. War is frequently a result of failure. As our reading highlighted, not what God intended. The message is clear. He wanted disputes between nations to be settled and for people not to be afraid. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Unfortunately, there's evil in the world. Leaders continue to arise who use war for greed, personal prestige, or from hatred. There will still be a need to stand up to such forces. Yet we should not overlook some conflicts are due to injustices and even unjust peace settlements. In 1928, Baden Powell wrote a message about the Remembrance Service. "Henceforth, each of us to do our bit to bring peace and goodwill. The Scout movement are doing a little bit in this direction by bringing together in friendship and under common ideals the future generation of every country in the world. We all have a part we can play. We must never forget the damage and consequences of war. We need to be tolerant and to be forgiving. Hold to account those who are not. To be kind and generous. To be understanding. To support organisations that work for peace and those that bring humanitarian aid, and to pray." And we now have some prayers.
We pray for those all who have died or suffer as a result of conflict, those whose lives are disfigured by war or terror, for servicemen and women, for civilians, each one remembered by and known to God. May God give peace. Finally, we pray for all members of the armed forces who are in danger this day, remembering family, friends, and all who pray for their safe return. May God give peace. Father, give wisdom to the leaders of the nations, that they may be a force for good on earth. Sustain the anxious and fearful, and renew them with courage from on high. Comfort all worried families whose loved ones are in danger. Surround them with your love and protect them from all harm. Surround them with your be sick and wounded. Stand by all prisoners and captives. Let your mercy be shown to all with your power to heal and save. In Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
O God of proof and justice, we hold before you those people who have died in active service. As we honour their courage and cherish their memory, may we put faith in your future, for you are the source of life, peace and hope, now and forever. Amen.
To say the trusting in the compassion God of God, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. We can say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Blessing. God the Father, bless us. God the Son, defend us. God the Spirit, keep us, now and evermore. Amen. Before I invite the Scouts group to come up to get their flags, I'd like to just thank them personally for all their help and participation this morning. Thank you for all the readers.